Welcome to another edition of Cat Soup, the best of internet humor on the radio. I'm Cat.
And I'm Joe.
And we don't have anything prepared this week.
Whoa, slow down there, young lady.
My electricity went out last night.
Yeah?
And so I hadn't put all of our stuff that I found on the internet on pieces of paper yet.
Does that mean we're going to have to improv?
Yes. Should we explain that?
The following show is going to be very unusual.
Yes. Joe and I, as background, Joe and I used to do improv together.
I was actually taught by my young lady friend here.
Yes. That's scary.
And she taught me way too well.
And we were in an improv troupe called Out of the Blue.
And we had to wear powdered blue shirts. Powdered blue.
Well, yeah.
Nice and manly. Goes right along with my driver's license.
Before that, we wore all kinds of colored shirts except for blue. And my point was, why are your shirts all different colors? Because they were out of the blue. Da-dum-dum.
Okay, somewhere amongst all that. No, hey, she's right. I mean, it was just too funny. It was like, but you know.
Yeah.
But we had fun.
So we don't know what day it is, really.
It's today.
But
folks, what are we going to get into? What are we going to get into today? We don't
trouble.
Know.
Yes. Generally, if you put Joe and I anywhere near an audience.
Standby to standby.
Yes. So we have no holidays. We have no birthdays. We have no, this is the day in history. Make up your own, folks. Okay. But we do have a word of the day.
Wait a minute. I do have a day, this day in history.
What?
This is the day in history our show gets banned.
This is our last show. No.
No, it's not. No, no.
Do you know this is show number 15? I do know that.
This is way too cool.
This is our 15th show. Not that that's like a big anniversary number
and
or anything.
We haven't killed each other yet.
No.
Okay.
Then only metaphorically.
Life is good.
So our phrase for this week is flying by the seat of one's pants.
I thought I was supposed to guess that.
No, I was just going to tell you.
Okay.
Anyway, what is flying by the seat of one's pants mean, Joe?
The last time I tried to fly by the seat of my pants, I got a wedgie. Oh, I mean, meaning, decide a course of action as you go along, using your own initiative and perceptions rather than a predetermined plan and or mechanical aid.
Or it means Cat messed up and we're just going to go with it.
And we're going to fly by the seat of our pants.
The origin of fly by the seat of one's pants, this is early aviation parlance. Aircraft initially had few navigation aids, and flying was accomplished by means of the pilot's judgment. The term emerged in the 1930s and was first widely used in reports of Douglas Corrigan's flight from the U.S. to Ireland in 1938. That flight was reported in many U.S. newspapers of the day, including this piece entitled Corrigan Flies by the Seat of His Pants in Edwardsville Intelligencer, 19th July 1938.
Intelligencer, sir. Hmm. Douglas Corrigan was described as an aviator who flies by the seat of his pants.
I thought it was in Irish.
Douglas Corrigan is described as an aviator who flies by the seat of his pants. Today, biomechanic who helped him rejuvenate the plane, which airport men have nicknamed the Spirit of $69.90. The old flying expression of flies by the seat of the trousers was explained by Larry Corner means going aloft without instruments, radio, or other luxuries.
2 days before this report, Corrigan had submitted a flight plan to fly from Brooklyn to California. He had previously had a plan for a transatlantic flight rejected, presumably on the grounds that the Spirit of $69.60 wasn't considered up to the job. His subsequent 29-hour flight ended in Dublin, Ireland. He claimed that his compass had failed. He didn't openly admit it, but it was widely assumed that he had ignored the rejection of his flight plan and deliberately flown east rather than west. He was thereafter known as Wrong Way Corrigan and starred as himself in the 1938 movie The Flying Irishman.
The old flying expression quoted above, although it can't have been very old in 1938, that refers to trousers rather than pants, does suggest that the phrase was originally British and crossed the Atlantic the right way prior to becoming the flies by the seat of one's pants.
Okay, I know we're not real prepared for today and all.
Oh?
But I don't know, I don't understand how that explains fly by the seat of one's pants. There is no mention of pants there anywhere.
Just think of it this way. In those old barnstorming days with the plane, there was no seat belts.
Those guys used to fly up and down and all around and held into the plane by their, basically their muscle and their wits. That being said...
Okay, there was nothing left but the seat of one's pants
yes,
to be... Okay.
As it went all over the place.
Okay, I got it. Ooh. I have a top five list from top5.com.
Which means we're going to have 4,528 things?
No, eight.
Eight, yes, five means eight, I got
and
it.
And since we are flying by the seat of our pants, we don't have a topic for today. We don't have a theme.
Which means we're going to be all over the place.
Yes, we are going to be all over the place. It's going to be a potpourri.
Potpourri.
Yes, there we go. I always like that on Jeopardy.
We were doing a really good show until you threw in the word potpourri.
Half of the show is
I'm
female.
Sorry. We're going to have potpourri today.
The top eight reasons your home office is
doesn't
not...
Doesn't that smell lovely? It's potpourri.
Oh, Dave, make him stop. Turn off his mic. The top eight reasons your home office is not working out.
Okay.
Eight, those water cooler conversations have caused you to develop multiple personalities.
Number seven, your wife refuses to put on a hairnet or wear gloves when she makes you lunch in your home office cafeteria.
Number six, your laptop gets confiscated every time the warden orders a surprise search.
Number five, you haven't been able to use the letter N for a week because of a toenail clipping wedged in a keyboard. Ooh.
Your home office is not working. Number four, sure, you can multitask, but last week you put the FitzHugh file in the washer and shredded your husband's dirty BVDs.
Probably needed to be done. But anyways, number three, you keep falling asleep at your desk since the magic coffee office brewing groans.
Gnomes.
Never seem to stop by you after you drain the first pot.
Number two, your little habit of stealing office supplies now leaves the kids with nothing to write with at school.
And the number one reason your home office is not working out.
Your neighbor keeps resetting the password for her Wi-Fi network. Those were cute. That's one of the best lists we've had.
I like that.
Yeah.
Dog neighbors.
Yes. Well, I guess we kind of have a theme today. It's kind of like flying. So
okay.
I did find something about airplanes. This is from allweirdnews.com.
Okay.
Okay. This is an airplane ride in the toilet? Question mark?
Airplane ride in the toilet.
Yes. A New York man who says he was denied a seat on a five-hour JetBlue flight and was instead told to hang out in the plane's bathroom has sued the airline for $2 million, saying he suffered extreme humiliation. The man, Gokhan Matlu, arrived to check in for a JetBlue flight from San Diego to New York and was told the flight was full, according to the lawsuit filed in New York State Supreme Court. But Matlu was allowed to board after a JetBlue flight attendant agreed to give up her seat and travel in an airline employee jump seat. It was not clear in the lawsuit whether the flight attendant was working at the time. However, 90 minutes into the flight, the pilot told Matlu the flight attendant was uncomfortable and he would have to give up his seat and hang out in the bathroom for the remainder of the flight, the lawsuit said.
The pilot became angry at his reluctance to comply and said Matlu should be grateful for being on board, the lawsuit says. When Matlu volunteered to sit in a jump seat, he was told it was reserved for airline personnel. At one point, the airline experienced turbulence and Matlu sat on the toilet seat without a seatbelt, causing him tremendous fear, said the lawsuit. JetBlue was not immediately available for comment, at least if the fear caused him to...
Soil himself.
Sugar, honey, iced tea. He was in the right place. Seriously, though, why would JetBlue not try and settle this by giving him a free airfare or something? This story is an embarrassment to the company.
Yes, sir.
Sugar, honey, iced tea.
Yeah.
Sugar, honey, iced tea. Sugar, sugar, dun 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 dun. Honey, honey.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We have some lies.
Ooh, lies.
Yes, yes. I lie awake at night thinking about the show. Dave's Web of Lies. This is from halife.com, halife.com, from Dave's Web of Lies.
She throws me softballs that I want to hit so bad.
Dave's Web of Lies employs a trained team of specialized researchers to trawl the world's information nets seeking out falsehoods. The fruits of their labors are presented to you here. We constantly update this site with the latest lies for you to consume, safe in the knowledge that what you read is not true.
Now we have a disclaimer. While we exhaustively examine each of our lies for any specks of truth and reject any found to contain even a glimmer of reality, we cannot guarantee that our lies are not, in fact, true.
Yes. Our first lie. The fortunes found within cookies are actually written by philosopher hamsters, and if one studies them close enough, they reveal the location of their ultra-secret hideout. The hamsters are prisoners under the care of a very nasty webmaster of Starbucks.com who can maintain watch at all times of the day through careful caffeine regimen.
Dave's Web of Lies.
That's a lie.
That's the... Yeah.
Okay.
Dave's Web of Lies pays contributors a large fee for each lie. It recoups the money by accumulating cookies from your PC and selling them to a multinational confectionery corporation where chocolate chips are added before resale.
That's a lie.
That's a lie.
Girl Scout cookies are made of retired Girl Scouts.
That's what they taste like. That's a lie. If you submit a lie to this site, it will automatically be published not only on this site, but in fortune cookies all over the globe.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
Oreos get their name from the high concentration of iron and bauxite ores in the chocolate cookie and cream filling portions, respectively, as well as traces of cobalt ore that can be found in both parts.
That's a lie. Uh-huh. Every Cookie Monster image printed on a T-shirt is required by law to have the message...
Leave Brittany alone!
...written in the pupil of the blue furry Sesame Street character.
That's a lie. Yeah. Oh, we got two pages there.
Yes, we did.
Okay. Oh, here we have some job applicant humor.
We are really flying by the seat of our pants today, aren't we?
Yes, we are. This is from crack.com, by the way.
Ooh.
Yes. These are strange things said by an applicant during an interview. Oh. And no, I did not say any of these. I don't care what anyone says. I would be a great addition to your softball team.
I figure if I can get a few months' experience here, then I can get the job I really want at the competitor.
Yes. One applicant said, I never get hungry. I guess that's to save some time on lunch.
Like yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Or I don't steal food.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Now, this is what you want to hear. I know who's responsible for most of my troubles.
Sometimes I feel like smashing things. Go ahead, Joe. Read it. I dare you. Read it. Go ahead.
One applicant was heard to say, my legs are really hairy.
I'm hoping that was a guy.
I do, too.
One applicant said, women. Out of nowhere, women should not be allowed to drink in cocktail bars.
And, of course, when you come into the job applicant and you say this, why aren't you in a more interesting business?
Yeah, but you're supposed to ask questions, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I've heard. This question, what are the zodiac signs of all your board members?
Wow.
Yeah.
Or, why do you want references?
One asked, do I have to dress for the next interview?
Oh, no, please, show up naked. I'm sorry. I know this is off the subject, but will you marry me?
Well, you know.
Now, these are strange things that have been
true.
Said.
These are actually
by
true.
By applicants yes. during interviews. These are not fibs.
This one, now, I don't know why this is funny. Will the company move my rock collection from California to Maryland?
Someone trying to get their rocks off. Your company has nice benefits. That's good because I'm not going to take a lot of leave this year.
No, I'm going to take a lot of leave this year. Oh, my gosh. Does your health insurance cover pets?
Would it be a problem if I'm angry most of the time?
And finally, I need the position because I want to get away from dealing with people. I think I said that in one of my interviews one time.
By the way, there's going to be a lawsuit because I was just struck.
Oh, yeah. I struck him with paper.
Ow.
You were supposed to be scissors or rock or whatever.
Ow.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We have office terminology for the new millennium.
Office terminology?
Yes, for the new millennium.
Excellent.
Yes, I thought these were kind of interesting.
All right.
Do you know what adminosphere is?
Adminosphere.
It's the rarefied organizational layers beginning just above the rank and file. Decisions that fall from the adminosphere are often profoundly inappropriate or irrelevant to the problems they were designed to solve.
Why does that sound right?
It really does. It's not funny. The second term is alpha geek.
Okay, alpha geek.
It's the most knowledgeable, technically proficient person in an office or work group.
Dave's an alpha geek, all right.
Yes. Oh, that made him sad.
Oh.
Do you know what blame storming is?
Blame storming
is sitting around in a group discussing why a deadline was missed or a project failed and who was responsible.
Ew, my last major job.
Mm-hmm.
Chainsaw consultant. Oh, an outside expert brought in to reduce the employee headcount, leaving the top brass with clean hands.
Oh.
That is just so wrong in many ways.
That is so wrong, and I so want it on a business card.
Yes.
Yeah. Chips and salsa. What's that?
Chips equal hardware. Salsa is software. Well, first we got to figure out if the problem is in your chips or your salsa.
That's good.
CLM.
CLM.
Career limiting move.
Mm.
You describe ill-advised activity. Trashing your boss while he or she is within earshot is a serious CLM.
You know what? This show?
Yeah.
Could be a serious CLM for both of us.
Oops. Yeah, Dave's within earshot. Uh-oh.
Do you know what a cube farm is?
That's where you collect a bunch of little cubes and you stack them up and then they reproduce and multiply and then you have more little cubes all over the place?
Close. It's an office filled with cubicles.
Oh.
And do you know what it is to be Dilberted?
Dilberted.
If you are Dilberted, you've been exploited and oppressed by your boss. It's derived from the brass. Derived from the experiences of Dilbert, the comic strip character. I've been Dilberted again. The old man revised the specs for the fourth time this week. That's my Dilbert impersonation.
I like that.
Isn't that
Dilberted?
Good? I've been Dilberted.
I've been Dilberted. That's wrong in more ways, too. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Well, you know, those applicants that came in and said stupid things.
Yes.
Well, we have some helpful hints for them.
Because we care about their future.
And we do. And we have, actually, there are helpful hints for the human resources person that had to interview those Nimrods.
To help them in their future.
Is it Nimrod or Nimrod?
Yes.
Okay.
Both yes. can be used.
So these are human resources helpful hints.
So, okay. The first one.
So, you take the prospective employees you're trying to place and put them in a room with only a table and two chairs. You leave them alone for 2 hours without doing any instruction. At the end of that time, go back and see what they're doing.
Now, if they've taken the table apart, put them in engineering. If they are counting the butts in the ashtray, assign them to finance.
If they're waving their arms and talking out loud, send them to consulting. I resemble that con.
If they are talking to the chairs, personnel is a good spot for them. If they are wearing green sunglasses and need a haircut, computer information systems is their niche.
Green sunglasses?
I've not worn them myself.
Okay. If the room has a sweaty odor, perhaps they're destined for the help desk.
Ew. Oh, that was bad.
Yeah.
If they mention what a good price we got for the tables and chair, put them in purchasing.
That makes sense.
Aye.
If they mention that hardwood furniture does not come from rainforests, public relations would suit them very well.
Yes. If they are sleeping, they are management material.
If they're writing up the experience, send them to the technical documents team.
If they don't even look up when you enter the room, assign them to security.
Oh. And if they try to tell you it's not as bad as it looks, send them to marketing.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
I like that idea.
Yes. Yes, I do, too.
Put them in a room with the... Yes.
Yes. Let's get off the subject of offices.
But, you know, if you closed the... If that room had no doors, windows, or otherwise on it...
Yes.
And you had to... How could they get out of that room?
They don't. You go in and you ask them.
No.
Why do we care what they... What?
No. If they have to get out of the room because there's no doors and no windows that you just put them in...
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Run around the table until they're all in?
No. Cut the table in half. When you put it back together again, you create a hole. Put a hole on the wall and sneak out the door.
This is what happens when I don't have enough time to write scripts and the lights go out. That was really kind of good.
That's actually a Mensa question.
Oh, you didn't come up with that yourself?
No. Come on. Shirley, you jest.
Don't call me Shirley.
And I do jest.
Okay. We have a weekly rant from crack.com.
Ah, how we love to rant.
We rant, yes.
And rave.
And it's all pink, but you get to read part of this. See, I color code. My parts that I read are pink, and Joe's parts are blue.
Most times,
but I think someone spilled the blue paint on this one. Anyway, this one is entitled Pop Culture Almost Killed Cookie Monster, and this is a rant, remember?
No.
Yes. Sesame Street is a television program aimed at young children and those of us unable to count to 10. It provides a fun, educational outlet for kids, and I swear to if those PBS producers interrupt Sesame Street one more time to beg for money, someone will die.
Just the facts. Sesame Street originated in the late 1960s and has been running strong ever since. It's always a good idea to trust gigantic yellow birds.
Big bird.
Don't look at us like that. You know everything about Sesame Street, and you know it.
There was a time that children remember fondly. It was a time when Cookie Monster had an unhealthy addiction to the type of baked goods known as cookies. Though it appeared harmless on screen, it created tension on the set. Actors and members of the film crew often complained about Cookie Monster showing up late for unexplained reasons. A search for the Cookie Monster always ended up in his trailer with a mountain of cookie crumbs surrounding a blue figure strung out on oatmeal raisin.
As time passed, it only got more and more out of hand. There were near-fatal overdoses on more than one occasion. Finally, after the turn of a new millennium, a way out presented itself. The rising obesity rates in children prompted the producers of Sesame Street to showcase more healthy eating habits.
Ugh.
Cookie Monster would have to quit cookies.
No!
Thankfully, after extensive therapy and counseling, CM, i.e. Cookie Monster, was successful. To date, his diet has expanded to contain food that are not cookies, such as carrots, lettuce.
Ew.
Now he's a rabbit. And he's still able to enjoy the occasional cookie without falling back on his old habits.
Oh, come on. Like somebody would watch a carrot monster?
You know, that would be like watching Animal, but not let him play his drums or live in a garbage can.
Yeah.
It's just wrong.
Or like if Big Bird couldn't fly. Oh, it's not TV. They can't see your face right now.
Yeah. Believe me, Big Bird flies, but it ain't the kind of flying we're thinking.
Okay.
Who else would come up with a 7-foot gigantic yellow bird? The 60s were good to the producers.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. I wonder where you're going with that. We have some more lies.
Lies.
And again, these are not true. These are lies. From halife.com, halife.com. Why do I always have to spell it? Because it just doesn't look right.
Because it's almost like it wants to be Half-Life.
Yes, it does, but it's not. This is Dave's Web of Lies. And you can get the lie of the day in your email. And you can also look for the archive, the big wide web of lies, I think. You can look in the archive. First one, Ronald McDonald does not wear makeup. He's a real person. Having suffered endless taunts and teasing at school, he was on the brink of suicide when he happened upon a small meat sandwich restaurant recruiting for a new mascot. This is a lie. That's your part.
Oh, school teachers of the future will not wear beards. Hey!
High School Musical was originally written as a torture for Vietnamese prisoners. I'm not sure that's a lie.
No, wait a minute. This one may be true. High school students in Wisconsin are required to pass a cheese test in order to graduate. I lived there.
Is it really that cheesy?
Yeah, it's very...
In the 60s, elastic manufacturers employed ex-SAS troops to steal one mitten from millions of primary school children. Then they started a campaign to encourage mothers to sew elastic to replacement pairs and thread them through their children's coats. The stolen mittens were sold back to the mitten industry at $3,000 a ton. This is a lie.
That is a lie.
I hope.
Putting two and two together and getting five is actually considered quite good in some northern schools.
How northern?
West Virginia.
That's not northern.
Sorry, the following comments were...
Don't call, don't email, sorry.
Kat didn't mean to say that.
The words to Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon were written by Roger Waters' 12-year-old brother for a school poetry project.
Yeah, that's a lie. Yeah. Yodeling and sorrowful song writing are mandatory courses in the grammar schools of Tennessee.
My dog ran off with my wife today.
Ta-da. Yeah, and that was a good story.
A lie. Pop star Sting was nicknamed Stinky at school. Over time, this evolved to Stink, then to Stimph, Stinnel, Stink, and finally to Sting. Sadly, his odor problem is as bad as ever. I'm sorry, Sting. I like you.
I think that was a sneaky lie.
I have a top five list.
Top five?
Yes.
Top five?
Top five.
Top five?
Yes, because we're going to end up with a lot of cats.
Oh. Mew.
These are the top signs you've got too many cats, part two.
All right. So we yes. have five of them, right?
16, at least. This was actually sent out on December 9th, 2009, in print on the internet from top5.com. And I want to read you this note here because this has significance. This week, we're having a contest that will result in a few new faces being added to the hallowed ranks of top five contributors. Over 150 people were invited to participate, and this week's list were written by the contestants. This is how I started writing for top five.
You lost.
No, I actually...
Oh, you won.
Yes, I did. I contributed, and they said, wow, you're really kind of adequate at this. Would you like to be a contributor?
Why, in our writing, it says we are having a contest?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But anyway, the top 16 signs you've got too many cats.
Number 16. Cleaning the litter box requires a 6-man crew and supervision from the Army Corps of Engineering. Whoa.
Number 15. You have to climb into a shark diving cage just to use the electric can opener.
Number 14. A moving crew is filming the next Dune sequel in your litter box.
Number 13. The new solid oak furniture you bought last week has been scratched down to just 5 toothpicks.
Number 12, you can't even find enough room to swing a crazy old lady. Swing a crazy old lady. Wow.
Number 11, you've run out of cute names like Mr. Bigglesworth and are forced to name the new one Jim.
Number 10, the low frequency rumbling from all the purring totally freaks out your San Francisco neighbors.
Number 9, you now communicate entirely in lol speak. Which wouldn't be so bad if you weren't chair of linguistics at Harvard.
Number 8. PETA reconsiders its position and now favors euthanasia of you.
7. Your weekly litter delivery arrives on a flatbed and leaves with the help of hazmat engineers. Ew.
That's too many cats.
That's way too many cats.
Every morning when you wake up, you cough up hairballs.
Yeah, this is so much fun when you don't read this stuff ahead of time, Joe.
That one caught me off guard.
You have too many cats. Number 5, there's more fur on your couch than in a 1970s porn film. Just guess which ones of these I wrote.
Number 4, TLC has contacted you as John and Kate replacement. Their proposal, Judy and Buttons plus 67. Wow.
Your Twitter account, at Pussy Galore, has nothing to do with sexual promiscuity or fondness for James Bond films, or whatever. Never mind. What's number 2, Joe?
You've been named in a class action lawsuit filed by Julie Newmar, Larry Lee Merriweather, Michelle Pfeiffer, Halle Berry, and the estate of Eartha Kitt.
And the top5.com's signs you've got too many cats.
Your friends have stopped. Oh, who are you kidding? You don't have any friends. Oh.
Aww.
Wahoo.
That's so funny.
That is
yeah.
great.
Yeah, I have cats and I have friends.
Not necessarily in that order.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I got that wrong. My cat has friends.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Anyway, wasn't this fun? We flew by the seat of our pants.
And we had a great time.
For 29 minutes.
It's amazing.
Yes. That's all we have today. I am Kat.
And I'm Joe.
And together we are...
Kat Soup.
The best of internet humor on the radio.
Have a great week, folks. Getting my dinner from a garbage can.